Thor is dressed for the 90s, Noah Centineo is buying GameStop stocks, and Zachary Levi is our Harold in the Purple Crayon? This is Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and I'm so happy to be back with you guys. I hope you guys have had a good week. We have a lot of news to talk about. A lot of strange news that I need to get into, and I need to get off my chest. Some of these headlines are ridiculous, but I can't wait to tell you about them. But why don't we get started, as we usually do, with our trailers for the week. There was only one major trailer I wanted to talk about this week. That is for The Flash Season 7. As you may have known, many of the CW shows were cut short last season because of COVID. They did not get to film the last couple of episodes. The Flash was no exception. He was supposed to have two more episodes, but didn't end up happening. So the beginning of Season 7 is really going to be ending Season 6. Iris was stuck in the Mirrorverse. Flash is losing his abilities. All of this is on display in the trailer. Some things to note, Ralph Dibny is nowhere to be seen. That is because Hartley Sawyer was fired for some very offensive tweets, so he will not be in this season of The Flash. I don't know how they're going to write him off, since this is picking up right after Season 6, like a minute after. I don't know how they're going to be doing that, but he is not going to be on the show, which is a shame because Ralph Dibny was such a fun character, but Hartley Sawyer, if he's a bad person, yeah, that sucks. He shouldn't be on the show. But yeah, let me know what you guys think of the trailer. It's actually on our page at Live Action Remake on Facebook. Go ahead and check it out, and let me know what you think. Now let's go on to movie news. We have a couple of cool things to talk about. Starting with the big one, the Snyder Cut will be released March 18th, 2021. It's been confirmed through 3 new posters. This is coming out the day before Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and a couple of weeks before Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong. March is going to be a pretty heavy month as far as content. It's also going to get the ending of WandaVision, so be excited for March. We're getting a lot of cool stuff that month. The Snyder Cut will be 4 hours, and it'll be in one chunk. It won't be episodes. I assume a trailer will probably come out next week with the Super Bowl coming up. We get a lot of really cool trailers usually on Super Bowl day. I'll be breaking those down next week. So hopefully next week we have a Snyder Cut trailer, but we will have the Snyder Cut in March 18th, 2021. Zack Snyder has also confirmed that the Joker will be in Justice League with a photo of Jared Leto's Joker. Now, it is a pretty blurry photo. We get to see the Joker card and him in the background, but it kind of looks like they're going for more of a Heath Ledger kind of look. The hair is a little more back. This may be a more unhinged Joker. I assume this Joker will show up in the nightmare sequence that was supposed to be in Justice League to begin with Batman in his trench coat and in this post-apocalyptic dark side world. I assume that's where we will see the Joker. Let me know what you guys think. That image is on our page at Live Action Remake on Facebook and Instagram as well. Also on those pages, the first look at Thor Love and Thunder. We get a couple of brand new costumes for Thor, Star-Lord, Kraglin, who is now confirmed to be in the film. Kraglin is in Thor Love and Thunder, and Nebula. We confirmed some of these characters already in the past couple of weeks that they would be in the movie. Star-Lord's got a new look. The jacket is a little bit more upgraded, as well as his beard. Star-Lord has a beard in this movie, I assume, because he will be competing with Thor, as he usually does. So that's going to be a little bit of fun back and forth. Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth have some pretty good chemistry. We also get Kraglin with a smaller mohawk arrow thing. I don't know what they're called. Fin? He's got a fin now. But it's a smaller one, so he'll be using Yondu's fin as he was at the end of Guardians Volume 2. And Nebula's got a new blue suit, so it's a little reminiscent of her first look in the original Guardians of the Galaxy. But not purple, it's more blue. So let me know what you guys think of those looks. They are on our pages at Live Action Remake. Go check them out. Now, we're going to do something that we don't usually do here on Live Action Remake, and talk about what's actually going on in the world, not just movies and TV. But if you haven't heard, there has been this whole thing with GameStop and Wall Street and AMC as far as stocks go. I don't know a lot about stocks. I barely know about movies sometimes. So this is very much outside my area of expertise. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because this GameStop, Wall Street, AMC fiasco, whatever's been going on, whatever you want to call it, uprising, or the end of finances, or whatever, everyone has different opinions on it, there is going to be 2 movies already confirmed about the events of the past week. One is going to be on Netflix, starring Noah Centineo. It's already in the works. Good for Noah Centineo, I guess. I'm glad he keeps getting work, I guess, but not a particularly good actor. And MGM has bought rights to make a film about this as well, which already has a title, The Anti-Social Network. So in the coming years, you will see two movies about the events of the last week, one with Noah Centineo on Netflix, and one by MGM called The Antisocial Network. I think it's very too soon to already be making movies about this, but whatever. Let me know if you're excited about these GameStop Wall Street movies. Let me know about finances, please. Who should I be rooting for? I don't know anything about money. I should. Or stocks. Let me know, please. Zachary Levi is set to star in a live-action film version of Harold and the Purple Crayon. Now, I don't know if he's playing an older Harold, or maybe he's playing Harold's father off-screen. It's just a particularly interesting headline. I like Zachary Levi a lot, and Harold and the Purple Crayon is a fun child's cartoon. I actually pitched a Harold and the Purple Crayon movie one time. I think it should be with Vin Diesel, and it should be in a post-apocalyptic world, and Vin Diesel barely has any more crayon left, and he is basically like a Green Lantern where he makes whatever he wants, and I thought that could be pretty funny. But of course, that's not what this movie's going to be, I don't think, unless they are doing that. If so, I want some kind of writer's credit. Let me know if that's what you're doing over there at whatever studio is making this movie. But yeah, Harold and the Purple Crayon, let me know if you're excited about that movie. This one's exciting news. John M. Chu, the director of In the Heights and Crazy Rich Asians, is set to direct a film adaptation of one of my favorite musicals, Wicked. Now, if you've never heard of Wicked, Wicked is the prequel to Wizard of Oz, telling the story of Glinda and Elphaba, who are both the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch. So these are two main characters of the Wizard of Oz universe. It is a fantastic musical. It starred Idina Menzel, who played Elphaba. Beautiful. Well done. If you haven't listened to it, at least listen to it on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Check it out. I'm so excited for this musical film adaptation, guys. I love John M. Chu's visual style. I think this can be absolutely fantastic, and I'm already excited for In the Heights. Now I get to be excited for Wicked. SpongeBob Sponge on the Run will drop with Paramount Plus on March 4th, Paramount Plus being the revamped version of CBS All Access. I wasn't excited for SpongeBob Sponge on the Run. I think most people don't like SpongeBob that much anymore. But let me know if you're excited for the film. Borderlands has casted its lead character, Roland, as Kevin Hart. I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Hart as far as acting goes. I think he's got a pretty good stand-up routine, at least he used to. I think he should stop acting, and I don't think that's a good lead for any movie. Kevin Hart, at best, is a side character who's a little bit funny, but basically plays the same character every time. Now let's go on to TV news, starting with a big one. Ryan Coogler, the director of Black Panther, is developing a Disney Plus show revolving around Wakanda. This could be really interesting, seeing the more intricate parts of Wakanda. Maybe see some war dogs. Maybe it could be about Shuri, Okoye, M'Baku. I'm excited. I love Wakanda, and I think Ryan Coogler did a great job of developing that world, especially with Black Panther in it. So I'm excited for this. The only downside is that, of course, Chadwick Boseman won't be a part of it. But still so excited. Let me know what you guys think a Wakanda Disney Plus show could be. Game of Thrones is set to have an animated drama in the works at HBO Max. I don't really think there's a market for this. I know Game of Thrones had its run, but an animated show, it feels cheaper than what they did before. Like, the CGI in Game of Thrones is top tier for television, and now they're going to animation? That's pretty weird, so I don't think this is going to go well. I'm pretty sure this will become a one-season kind of thing. Sandman has announced the cast for Netflix, including Tom Sturridge as Dream and Gwendolyn Christie as Lucifer. Now, that was interesting. I assumed that Tom Ellis would be playing Lucifer again, as those worlds are kind of based off each other. Many people did, but Gwendolyn Christie is a very good actress. She played Captain Phasma in Star Wars. She was also in Game of Thrones. I don't know Tom Sturridge from anything, but, you know, this doesn't seem like a bad cast. Boyd Holbrook has also joined the cast, one of my favorite actors who pops up every now and then. He was also in Logan. He played one of the main villains. If you guys are big fans of Sandman, I think this show is going to be pretty cool. Another Robin has entered Titans Season 3. Jay Lycurgo has been cast as Tim Drake, aka the third Robin, who eventually becomes the Red Robin, and Drake in the comics. He has been also seen in the unrelated Batman trailer. He is actually in the movie The Batman, but he is not going to be playing Tim Drake, of course. He's playing some goon who In the trailer, you can watch him watch Batman beat some guy to a pulp. He's just in that crowd of clown people with all their makeup on, just fearing for his life. But that's interesting that he is in two different DC Comics related productions, both related to Batman, within like 2 years. So that's pretty cool. Jay Lacurgo seems to be a person of color. I couldn't seem to find what ethnicity he is, but that's really cool that we have a person of color as a Robin on the show, because we've had two white Robins. Now we have a person of color. Awesome. Tim Drake is not particularly my favorite Robin. I'm more excited by a Damian Wayne, maybe, but Tim Drake, still cool. Excited to see him on Titans Season 3. Sonic Prime is the title of the new 3D animated Sonic the Hedgehog show coming to Netflix 2022. 3D animated Sonic show? That sounds pretty fun. I think it could be cool. Maybe they should get Ben Schwartz back, make it part of the Sonic movie universe. I think that could be a lot of fun. 80 Bryant's Shrill is set to have one final season on Hulu. I've heard really great things about Shrill. 80 Bryant, I've heard, is fantastic and hilarious in it. I hope it's very good. Zach Braff has joined Gabriel Union in Cheaper by the Dozen, the remake for Disney Plus. I'm not a huge fan of Zach Braff. I've gone on tangents about him before. I don't think a Cheaper by the Dozen remake was that exciting to begin with, and now that I know that Zach Braff is leading it, as opposed to a Martin Lawrence, it sounds like a downgrade. I'm not excited for it. Not at all. And finally, we got our first look at US Agent in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Wyatt Russell will be playing John Walker, the government's version of Captain America. If you see on our post at Live Action Remake on Instagram and Facebook, you'll see that the government has created their own version of Captain America. Wyatt Russell, he's shaven up. He looks like a spitting image. Almost from far away, he could look like Chris Evans. The suit is pretty good, I have to say. In the comics, he's a lot more darker tones. They went with a lighter tone, obviously trying to play up the fact that he's more Captain America, the red and blue. But in the comics, this guy's a very brutal guy. He's a very, very different kind of soldier than Captain America. He's got the modern soldier problems. He's not the good man that Steve Rogers was. He's just a soldier. I'm excited to see where they go with this character. He could be a very morally ambiguous character, trying to be a hero, but stuck in the shadow of Steve Rogers. He's also going to be in direct competition with Falcon for the title of Captain America. And of course, because Falcon is a person of color, people are probably going to side more toward Wyatt Russell. So that's going to be a problem in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So I'm so excited for that show. I think it's going to tackle a lot of heavy topics. I think it's going to be really awesome. But let me know what you guys think. How do you like Wyatt Russell as U.S. Agent? Are you excited for another Robin in Titans? Zachary Levi in Harold and the Purple Crayon? Are you excited for the Noah Centineo GameStop Wall Street movie or the Antisocial Network GameStop Wall Street movie? Let me know what you guys think. Feel free to email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at actionremakepod on Twitter. Now on to what I'm currently watching. Normally, I am very picky about what I choose to watch and what I choose to consume in media. However, two of my very good friends, DNL and Haley, have convinced me to watch this show that I normally would not watch. But I have to say, I may have been wrong. It's a pretty fun show. I'm only in the first season, and I know it'll probably get better from this, hopefully. It's five seasons. It is called The Magicians. It revolves around a character named Quentin who finds out that he has magical abilities and enrolls in a school called Breakbills University. There he meets several characters like Penny, Margot, Elliot, and they have adventures. They learn magic, and they are trying to find out a mystery revolving a magical being called the Beast. While it doesn't, reinvent the wheel, it is a very fun show. I personally don't really see a lot of fantasy stuff, so there are a lot of new things in this show to me personally. The actors are way better than I thought they would. I honestly bashed sci-fi and the CW. I kind of put them in the same bubble. But I have to say the actors on this show are a lot better than your typical CW show. And that's coming from someone who typically watches a lot of DC CW shows. So let me know if you guys watch The Magicians. Let me know if it gets any better or if it just goes downhill from here. Who's your favorite character? Personally, I like Margot and Elliot. I think they're very fun and probably the best part of the show. But let me know what you think. Now we're going on to the latest episode of WandaVision. We interrupt this program. So, if you haven't seen the latest episode, episode 4, feel free to pause this episode, go watch the show, and come back. And if you haven't seen any of WandaVision, pause this episode and take 2 hours and catch up, because the show is amazing. I love it so much. And I really want to talk about this episode. So I'm doing full spoilers, as I usually do, starting in 3, 2, 1. We start off this show very differently than the past three. We are no longer in the sitcom world. I have to say that was a little disappointing in some ways because, I don't know about you guys, the sitcom world is very fun for me. I've been having a lot of fun being in that version of the MCU and then forgetting that there was this greater mystery going on, just seeing pieces and little specks of what might be. But in this one, we get a lot of answers, a lot more than we have been getting in the past three episodes. We actually start this episode, technically, way before the show begins, 3 weeks before, when Monica Rambeau, aka Geraldine, has been snapped awake, which this is the first time we see the blip, which is when everyone comes back in a much, much darker way. It's just utter confusion. People are scared. There are people who didn't even realize they were dead. People are coming out of the woodwork. It's not that happy, we're all back together at the end of Endgame moment. It's not the funny moments from Spider-Man Far From Home where people are coming back and there's trombones and stuff. It is utter chaos in this hospital. We also find out that Maria Rambeau, one of the funnest characters and nicest characters in Captain Marvel, has died of cancer 3 years earlier during the events of the 5-year gap between Infinity War and Endgame. They just killed off a major character off screen. I'm a little upset by that because I really like Maria Rambeau. If you follow me on Twitter, you'd know that I really hope they do a Maria Rambeau kind of Agent Carter style sword show in the 90s. I would love that. I think Lashana Lynch is a great actress. So, you know, let's make that happen. You know, Maria Rambeau sword show. I don't know, hashtag, whatever. We then jump. Tyler Hayward, I believe his name is now the acting director of S.W.O.R.D., which is now following sentient weapons instead of space. So it's more on Earth. So I think that's their way of saying that S.W.O.R.D. is going to be a more kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. organization for the remainder of the MCU now that we don't have it anymore. They send Monica to a missing persons case where we meet with Jimmy Woo, which I have to say, I didn't realize how much I missed Jimmy Woo until I saw him again with the card trick. He's having a lot of fun. I think Jimmy Woo is a standout character for me in this episode alone. Very funny talking about baby Jimmy Woo's and how he maybe wants kids and all this stuff. And, you know, the baseball league is over. All of his lines hit for me, so I liked him a lot. He also seems to have stepped up his game a little bit. He seems to be not as incompetent, and we see him in Ant-Man and the Wasp. It seems like after he got duped by Ant-Man, maybe he's been trying to take his job a little bit more seriously, be more on it. And he kind of is. Of course, he's still silly. But he seems more of a Phil Coulson than a side joke now. They have discovered that this dome is now over this whole town, and the people outside the town don't even realize that the town is there. Of course, this is where we see Monica fall into it, and we realize that this bubble is turning people into the sitcom. So as soon as she goes in, she is something else. And same thing happens with the beekeeper, who turned out to be an agent looking for Monica. That is one of the very first answers we get, is that this little bubble is not only changing things within it, anything that comes in will change as well. It's just going to. The only exception to that rule was the helicopter that changed a little bit. It didn't change color, which is pretty interesting to me. So this dome clearly has some sort of limits. Also, it didn't affect Monica's memories because she was able to talk about Ultron. That is a whole other thing. But there are clearly things that we still don't know. We also get the reintroduction of Darcy Lewis, who has not been around since Thor: The Dark World. She is now her own scientist, which is pretty cool. She is not just the wacky intern anymore. Although she has a lot of great fun and she's still pretty quirky. She has some great lines with Jimmy Woo as well. They have really good chemistry. They observe the events and they realize that Monica has been disguising herself as Geraldine. We also find out that everyone in this bubble are not just characters. They are people playing characters. For example, that the hearts aren't actually named the hearts. They are different characters as well. Norm is not just Norm. He is another human being with a different identity. So these people are not only held hostage by this bubble, but they are forced to be different sitcom characters than their own lives. So that adds a whole other wrinkle to this. There is two very interesting things about this as well. When they have all of the different identifications of these characters, the only two that do not have identifications are Agnes, the nosy neighbor, played by Katherine Hahn, and Dottie, played by Emma Caulfield. So that is pretty interesting. Who are these two people? Are they villains? What is going on? We still don't know. And everyone in this episode is desperately trying to figure out what is happening. We also finally get to see what happened when Geraldine or Monica gets whipped out of the dome. Scarlet Witch launches her. She blasts her out of the home and then immediately fixes the home. Which leads me to believe that Wanda is in absolute full control, which is backed up by the fact that Monica says it's all Wanda. It's all Wanda, and she's like so scared. I think Wanda is in full control of this dome. Only this dome. She can only alter reality within this little finite area, but she is holding these people hostage, and she has created a sitcom world in order to cope with her losses. We also see, for a brief moment, the moment that probably shocked the whole world, not just me, Vision is dead. The stone is still ripped out of his head, and he is a husk. The interesting thing about this is that Vision is still sentient. He still asks questions and is equally as confused as everyone else. He asks Catherine Hahn, "Because we are what?" And she doesn't answer him. So I believe Vision does have some life in him. He is alive within this bubble. He is his own person. He doesn't know that he's dead, but he is. And that is scary. That's some scary stuff. And it's a lot darker that Wanda has been living this whole life, this whole world, with her two kids and a husk of a dead Vision that believes that he is alive. So much to unpack from this one episode, but I think the one thing that we can agree on is Wanda is now full villain. She has gone all the way to the dark side. She has done whatever she can to cope with her losses, and it is terrifying, and I am so excited to see what happens next. I am so excited. You guys, this was the first one that gave us some real answers. I truly believe that these next couple of episodes are where we're gonna see Wanda's power not only get out of control, but we're gonna see the full potential of Wanda. And I think that is what's gonna break open the multiverse. That's where we're gonna see maybe a Doctor Strange or a Spider-Man come in. And we're gonna lead to the events of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But yeah, let me know what you guys think of the latest episode of WandaVision. Did you love it as much as I did? Were you as shocked for Dead Vision? Oh, let me know. Finally, I'm gonna leave you guys with a good recommendation. Since we've been talking about Zachary Levi a little bit with the purple crayon, it got me thinking about this show that starred Zachary Levi in a later season, but still, it's one of my favorites. It's called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It revolves around a woman named Midge in the 1950s. She is a Jewish American housewife. She is married to a man named Joel who cheats on her, and she's forced to figure out her life without him in the late 50s. So, what does she decide to do? She decides to be a stand-up comedian, which, of course, is hard for her at that time. It's hard for a woman at any time, but it's hard in the 50s, particularly, to be a comedian and raise a child and deal with her parents and deal with her ex-husband Joel. It's a very funny show, beautiful costuming. I love a period piece, I say it all the time, and it is a particularly funny show. It hits you sometimes with some emotion, like I always love, but I think you're gonna get a lot of laughs out of it first. Go ahead and check it out, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. There's three seasons on Amazon Prime right now. I got my mom and my sister to watch it, they love it. I think you're gonna love it too. Go ahead and check it out. And that's all I really have for you guys this week. Let me know what was your favorite ridiculous headline of the week. And thank you so much for listening to the episode. It honestly means so much to me. Thank you so much for all your support. If you haven't already, please follow and like us on Facebook at Live Action Remake or on Instagram at Live Action Remake. It helps us grow a little bit, get the word out. You'll get the first bit of news as soon as it comes out. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Action Remake Pod. Tweet us. Let me know your questions. Let me know your recommendations, your suggestions. I would love to hear it. And finally, if you want to email us, you can email us at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Do what you love. I'm signing out. Have a good one.